You're listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life.
I had this shift, like all my life I was preparing for something which I didn't know or was perhaps subconscious, but all of a sudden I just shifted onto the tracks and I was made to be a mother.
Now, here's your hosts, Tim and Des.
Well, welcome to this week's Momentum. Once again, we are so thrilled that you can join us wherever you are all around our wonderful nation. It's great to have you tuning in, and Tim and Des with you once again as we get set to embark on another show. Just a quick point to our website for a moment, momentumaustralia.org. That's momentumaustralia.org. You can find out a bit more about Momentum, who we are, why we exist, and of course, lots of resources on our website too to help you on your journey. And if you'd like to financially support us, we are a ministry. We rely on donations from people just like yourselves to keep running. Momentumaustralia.org to give us your support and your feedback if need be. That'd be really appreciated. But Des, my co-host, how are you this week, my friend? Are you well?
I'm amazingly good.
Amazing. Like you're surprised by that?
Stature or something. No, I'm really, really good. I'm really looking forward to this show today. It's really, really good. It's good. Okay. And just let me say, sorry, I should say, our care line, Momentum Care Line, 1-800-000-MEN, 1-800-000-636. And that's a care line that's available 7 days a week from 9 a.m. to 11 p.m. And there's a whole pile of people there ready to take your call. It's confidential. It's safe. You can talk on any subject you would like to raise with them. But so please don't do life alone. If you're struggling with anything, reach out to us at Momentum, MomentumAustralia.org, or at our care line, 1-800-000-636.
Yeah, thanks, Des. You may be listening to this on Mother's Day. It may not be Mother's Day. It might have just gone Mother's Day. And, you know, it's a day where we show our love, our gratitude, appreciation for our mum, our stepmom, our gran, our relative, guardian or close friend who might be or have been a mother figure in our lives. You know, it's a day where we acknowledge not just all they do for us, but all that they bring into our lives on so many levels.
Yeah, we're going to delve in behind all the chocolates and the prezzies and cards and flowers and family gatherings in this week's show to look at how we redefine the role of mums in 2023. You know, it's changed significantly. It appears to have changed significantly. And what might be the biggest challenges mums face in today's climate? And is the church helping or hindering mums in their role? And maybe even think about how dads can help support mums as well.
Yeah. Well, we've recently spoken, I think, with Cindy McGarvey about her book, The Next Revolution. She's never one to shy away from tough topics and honest answers. She's the National Director for Youth for Christ Australia. She joins us once again on this week's Momentum. So firstly, welcome back, Cindy, and happy Mother's Day.
Thank you.
You have several children. How many do you have?
I have five. We have five together.
Yeah. Well, that's so good. Mother's Day definitely applies to you.
Yes.
But I mean, as five, I mean, that's a gathering when you all get together. But how does that feel for you personally, Mother's Day? What does that mean to you personally?
Yeah, as a mother of five children, it certainly is a gathering. And I have three sons and two daughters, all young adults now and three married. And also recently, I had two little grandsons. So that's such a blessing. So what does Mother's Day mean to me? I think motherhood, I wasn't expecting this before I was a mother, but motherhood has been one of the most fulfilling endeavors of my life. And I'm so thankful to God for the incredible blessing it has been to be able to bear and raise children. It just, like, I think we take it for granted, but it is a blessing. And it hasn't been all ease and comfort. There's been a lot of pain and suffering, you know, at different times, you know, raising children, getting up in the night when all children are really sick, or all sorts of things happen during their life. You know, as a mother, you feel their pain. So, but the joy and fulfillment is beyond what I could ever have imagined.
Wow, that's amazing. Talk to us about how your relationship with your own mum developed, and, you know, what did that look like to you as a daughter rather than being a mum?
Yeah, I was one of four girls and I had two brothers. So I was from a big, big family, a big farming family. And my relationship with my mum, particularly during my teen years, was really challenging because I was pretty rebellious.
Wow.
And yeah, and you know, growing up in a traditional, I know that's hard to believe.
I wasn't going to say anything.
You were laughing, so
no. Because you're so sweet, I can't even think of you being rebellious.
Oh, no, no. Well, yeah, and I'm always one to question things, and everyone else seemed to just not question things.
Yeah.
And because I was always asking the why, and why are we doing this, or I think everyone's hypocrites, and all sorts of things like that. Just the way I'm wired, just really, I guess, in my teenage years, clashed with my mum.
Mm.
And so I rebelled because I felt like I didn't have the proper answers to things. So I think I really gave my mum a really hard time. But the exciting thing is that the Lord rescued me by the time I was 20. And that began my journey of, you know, getting married, having my own family and understanding my mum much more.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until probably, you know, when I had my first three or four to my 30s where I really got exposed in my heart that I actually had an attitude of unforgiveness toward her. I hadn't properly dealt with things. And it wasn't something that people would have seen outwardly or noticed. It was this passive, I don't know, just underlying thing. Maybe it was even a negativity. I don't know what it was, but I wasn't really conscious of it until the Lord exposed it to me. And when he exposed it to me and I went to my mother and I asked her forgiveness.
Wow.
I actually totally set free and it changed our whole relationship. And so we have a great relationship now. And yeah, so that's really good. And also about a year ago, we were at a family gathering and, you know, just back to Des thinking that I was always and my mother, we were in this conversation with my sisters and my nieces and my mum, and we were talking about how every one of us has a difficult child to raise, that you just think, I just don't know how to raise this child. And my mother said, yes. And she pointed to me.
She pointed to you.
This was the most difficult child. And it was a real shock to me, and I had forgotten all of that.
Yeah.
And I think it's just because I was wired a bit differently that I really gave my mum a hard time.
Well, apologies to your mum, but we're grateful for how you are wired, Cindy, because we appreciate your honesty. On a positive note, when you look back, whether it was as a child or even through the rebelliousness or even since, what's one thing that mum has taught you or you've learnt from mum or she said or modeled that you took on board and hold really dearly? Maybe you've modeled that in your own mothering or just something that's really shaped you as a person.
Growing up on a farm has been a really big thing. And, you know, my mother, she was someone who was very big on hospitality. She was always cooking, always having people around, relatives. Even now when I go home to my parents' house, they have this huge big kitchen table in the kitchen and people just drop in all the time. And there's always homemade biscuits or homemade cake or something like that. And so you think of this country farm where people are always welcome.
Mm-hmm.
So I always loved that. And you're always there having a cup of tea and talking. So I value that. I really love that. Also, you know, I was thinking about this recently. You know, my mum grew up in a home that had some turmoil. And I can remember when we grew up, there was always someone in my mum's family where someone wasn't speaking to someone else or there was conflict.
Mm.
And my mother never engaged in that sort of thing. And she always drummed it into us never to do that to anyone, never to do it in the family, never to, she never said, exactly why it was bad, just that we knew that it would really hurt people. I know why, because, you know, from scripture, so we know it's almost like taking revenge on someone if you don't speak to them, if you just cut them off. So she drummed that into me and my siblings, and we'd never done that. And I remember drumming it into my kids, particularly girls, because girls do that much more. And I just say, other people may do that, but we don't do that because it's a form of revenge and it's sin. So she really drummed that into us. And I think just the freedom, just back to being on a farm in that time, you know, the freedom and the responsibility. We had chores to do. We had to work hard. And my mum worked hard, and that was really instilled in us.
I think that's a great value in the family. And I grew up with a mum and dad who were very hospitable as well. And it wasn't the countryside, it was in Belfast itself. And you know, same thing, like Sunday night we would have, you know, 10, 20 people, you know, in a big lounge room, and they'd just sit around and chat. And, you know, once they started talking about Christian things, I would disappear. But other than that,
it was your rebellion.
But really the friendship and my mum was a catalyst in that regard in terms of inventing. So it was very important. Yeah, that's really cool. So you go from there to being a mum. How did that change? How did your perception of being a mum change when you became one?
Yeah, that is really a good question, because I just relived this through my daughter, who had a baby, her first baby, some weeks ago. And she's very expressive, and she goes, oh, I feel like I've been made for this. She's expressing what I felt. Yeah. And so I've had time to really think about it as I've relived it. But I do think it's a huge thing to realize for the very first time that that you have this little precious life that you're totally, absolutely responsible for, you know, feeding, bathing, sleeping, changing. If you were not responsible, then that little baby could die. So you're on 24/7 alert. And so it changes your whole perspective of things when you realize that you have a child that is totally reliant on you, and so you have to be much more responsible. So that takes that's some sort of realization, but it's a really positive, well, it was really positive for me. And I remember distinctly thinking, I may not have verbalized it, but distinctly thinking that I had this overwhelming feeling that I had moved into the vocation that I was made for, and that was motherhood. I had this shift, like all my life I was preparing for something which I didn't know or was perhaps subconscious, but all of a sudden I just shifted onto the tracks and I was made to be a mother. And there was such a deep sense of satisfaction and joy, you know, and also that sense that physically and mentally, emotionally, everything, I was wired to be a mother. And so, and I think also that said, it's where the narratives of the world have it wrong. You know, as I said, you know, watching my daughter-in-law, my daughter as well, had their first baby, they are coming to that same realization. I was made to be a mother. And they want to stay at home. They want to look after their child. They don't want to put their child in the care of others to raise and so on. And I know that some have to do that. But they, you know, coming to that realization is such a significant thing.
Cindy, before we jump into a break, just one thought on that. And it's a little left of field, but bear with me. Because for a mum, and I can speak from this space too. Des, you can jump in on this as well if you like. But when I first became a father, it took a little while, and I'm talking probably 3 to 4 months, for me to really adjust. Because, you know, as men, it's very external for us. We see what's happening, you know, with our wife or our partner, and the body's changing. And, you know, we have this kind of external relationship, whereas for you as mums carrying the baby, you feel everything, you know, particularly when it starts kicking and moving and all, you feel all of that, which we get an external feel of that, but you have the internal feel of that. And for dads, it takes, I found it took me 3 or 4 months, particularly when my daughter was born, for me to kind of get my head around, oh, wow, this is like, she's here and this is real. And this is like, my life has changed. Whereas for mums, it seemed like it was instantaneous, like, because we've been on the journey. So I just want you to, I suppose, speak into that space for dads and go from your experience with your husband. Is there anything you could say to dads to help them on that shift, or that they could even help you, that because they don't realize? It's like, is there some sort of advice you could give as new dads, or for them to help that transition? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, you've worded it so well that yes, it is an emotional thing, and that women are feeling it and moving, progressing with it all through the pregnancy, and then this little baby. And you know, I'm watching my son-in-law actually, because I was there at the birth, and I was there, you know, for the first week, just helping them look after this little babe. And he kept saying, "I just feel like I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't know what to do."
Even at the birth, you know, all us women around, and you know, helping her, you know, talking through it and all that sort of thing. And he just like, he said, "I don't know what I'm doing," and all that thing. So I think in the first months, you know, you would have to have an adjustment, and that would be something that men could speak to. But I think just supporting your wife in whatever way you can, and just knowing to give that space and not take it as rejection. Because I've heard so many times, you know, particularly with a wife's, you know, with a mother's body, they have to recover from the birth. And then you have to readjust to having a baby. You know, your intimate life has to readjust to having the baby as well. And because the wife, you know, as a mother, you're just pulled all 100% of the time, you're focused on this baby, and you've got to adjust. Mm-hmm. And see how that works out in your marriage and all that sort of thing. Don't take it as rejection.
I think, actually, that's a huge, huge issue because, you know, the mum gets all the attention, the baby gets all the attention, the flowers come in for the mother and all that sort of stuff. And quite often, certainly my kids, first couple of kids were being born, I wasn't even allowed in the room in those days. But you're talking about 40 years ago, but you know. But I think that message to men that says, "Hey guys, you are part of this. You're part of this birth, even though physically you're not, you know, delivering a baby. You are intimate in this situation and in this relationship. And the sooner you bond with that child and get that child to know you and, you know, and respect you and so forth, those things are so, so important." Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
Some good messages to end the first part of the show on. We are talking Mother's Day, and our special guest is Cindy McGarvey. She's the National Director for Youth for Christ Australia. When we come back, we're going to discuss roles. What does that look like as mums and dads? And what about the church in all of that? How has the church perhaps helped or hindered in that process? More on the other side of this break right here at Momentum. In the meantime, have a quick look around our website, and we'll be back real soon. MomentumAustralia.org.
This is Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. Find out more at MomentumAustralia.org.
All right, well, welcome back to Momentum, and it is our Mother's Day. Should we call it a special? I'm not sure, but it's a Mother's Day episode. Tim and Dad's with you, and our special guest is the National Director for Youth for Christ Australia, Cindy McGarvey. And just a point back to one of our previous shows with Cindy recently, The Next Revolution is her new book, Resisting the Cult of the Self. Always a great discussion, and lots of thought-provoking discussion in that conversation, which you can find at the website, MomentumAustralia.org. But we are talking today about Mother's Day, and Cindy, let's get to you and talk about your role as a mum. We've kind of talked a bit more about your backstory in the first part of the show, and how your mum influenced you, and how having kids influenced you. I'm curious to know how you see your role as a mum, not just in raising kids, but perhaps helping shape their identity and calling them forth into adulthood. And that's not a quick question, but can you speak into that space for us? How have you seen that? Has that changed for you over the years, how you see yourself in that role?
Yeah, well, I think how I saw myself as a mum was that I had the role of nurturing my children. And this wasn't just physically. It was emotionally. It was spiritually. It was shaping their character. And those things were really, really important to me. And I love the term sukkur. I know that I recently heard Martin Isles speak about it. And it's a term that means, you know, to help or to aid or to encourage. And one of the definitions that he used was to call out the nobleness in someone.
Wow.
And that was one thing. I love that being articulated because one of the things I liked to do for my children, like they would say, oh, so-and-so is being mean to me. And I'd go, well, you know, how, you know, what, I would try to help them rise above it and see the bigger picture in things, not get down into the petty stuff. You know, and so I felt like I had the duty to call out the best in my children and who they were in Christ and who they were made for. And I remember one time my second son, Josiah, he told me only a couple of years ago, he says, Mom, I just stopped telling you about things, bad things people did to me because you would always take their side. I thought about it and I thought, like when he'd say, oh, so-and-so did this and all that, and I would say, well, they're probably feeling really, you know, and hurt people do hurt others. So how can you? So I always remember I tried to help them take the next level up and do those things. So, I think I love that term, sukkur, and I also like to do that for my husband, to call out the best in him, and he does for me as well. And he always says, you know, you've got to rise above that, you've got to take the leadership role or things like that. He doesn't let things go with me, and we didn't let things go with our children.
Mm.
So, you know, that we had to teach to suffer through situations where sometimes you just needed to not say anything or to speak up when you needed to speak up, but to do it in a good way for, you know, God's greater purpose. I think also by nature and personality, my, you know, when we talk about motherhood, what I thought my role was, what motherhood did for me, just looking at it from a different perspective, is, you know, with my nature and personality, I think I'm a very selfish person. And so having children really attacked that in me.
Mm.
And it was interesting because recently I've read through the book of Ruth and then Samuel, 1 Samuel, and I see mothers like Naomi, Ruth, and Hannah, and they were described as women of noble character. And I think having children makes us, you know, helps toward that, but also we need to be raising our daughters to have, and sons, to have noble character. Mm. And it doesn't, you just don't acquire noble character. It has to be purposely taught. Mm. That's what I believe. It's actually discipleship. Training, discipling, training our children in those things.
So what would that look like, Cindy? And let's take your kids, for example, and you say discipling them and coaching them and leading them in that way. What would that actually practically look like?
One of the things I always did was I always had Bible reading every morning. I got them into the Word. I helped them to understand the Word. I helped them to love the Word of God. So reading the Word and learning through the Word what a noble character looked like, what sin looked like, how we should act in certain circumstances. So getting into the Word, learning the Word, teaching them a biblical perspective of things and a biblical worldview in all sorts of things like science, maths, you know, isn't this amazing how God made creation, how God made mathematics to work exactly you know, it's an exact science in a way. So, yeah, helping them with a Christian worldview, a biblical worldview, teaching them the word of God and training their character, disciplining them.
Because they won't get that anywhere else. You know, they won't get the biblical teaching. They won't get the core values. They won't get all those things from anywhere else other than from their mum and dad. So that's so important.
Yeah, and it's a full-time job. I don't know how you could do two at the same time. I don't know how you could work full-time outside the home with little children. I know some people have to, and it's, it's really tough for them. But I don't know if you could do both well.
Can I ask then, Cindy, bounce off the back of that, when you look at mums today in 2023, what do you think are some of the biggest hurdles and challenges that they face? Is that one of them, the fact that they are often now just through financial pressure required to work and try and be a mum and try and keep the house together? Like, is that one of the biggest things that mums face or struggle with, do you think, in this the current climate that we find ourselves in?
Yeah, I think that like maybe 20, 30, 40 years ago, it was easier financially for mothers to stay home with their children. But with the, I guess, the pressures of the feminist movement to get women out into the marketplace, there was what scholars talk about a mass exodus of women from the homes in the 70s, which women working outside the home, you had to change the mindset of women. You had to change the narrative that their value is in what they do and using their brains, you know, out in the workforce and all that sort of thing. So women got, so that changed the whole economic system to what we have today where, you know, you can't maintain a middle-class lifestyle on one income. It has to be two incomes.
And doesn't that lead then to the importance, you know, of a team in the home in terms of, you know, husbands and wives, partners, and them not live doing life, you know, in isolation themselves with their kids, but as a team working together to grow their to expand their children, grow their children, give them the right values. It's teamwork that does that in today's society.
Yeah, absolutely. But I do think it was teamwork. I mean, it has to be much more coordinated teamwork now if the women are working, if mums are working outside the home. But I want to say something about that as well, that this narrative that women, you know, it's a feminist narrative, and it comes from, you know, neo-Marxist ideology that we all should be out working. You know, we are the workers of the world. I think a truly liberated woman is working for the home, for her children, for her husband, all of that sort of thing. But that's not what you hear in mainstream. Our girls are taught that they've got to go out there and conquer the world. They're not taught to be mothers and they're not taught to be wives. And as a result, we are seeing, I believe, and what I have seen, my personal experience in the church, is that the church is not teaching girls, whether it's the church, whether it's mothers, that you will most likely be a mother one day. You will most likely get married one day. And these are things that are really, really important to learn. But we are preparing our girls for the marketplace to go out to work and all that, but we're not preparing them to be mothers and to be wives. And the church should be different from the world. And that is why we talk about, you know, the epidemic of fatherlessness, but there is also an epidemic of motherlessness. And it's not just outside the church, it's inside the church as well. Because mothers, I know and I've seen it so much, mothers who are my age, you know, they're teaching their girls, you go, girl, you can get it. They're teaching their girls to go out in the marketplace and to be independent, to be empowered, all of those things, but they're not teaching them what is going to be the most fulfilling thing in their whole lives, like what we discussed before, of this realization, like my daughter and my daughter-in-law. So my daughter-in-law just had her baby 4 months ago and she was 28. And my daughter had hers at 26, their first. They both said they had no idea, and that was the same for me. They had no idea how fulfilling it was to be a mother and how they want to just stay home and be a mother. And they said no one ever told them that. I tried to tell my but they didn't realize that this would be the most fulfilling thing they would ever do in their whole life. And so the church is not, I think we need to be telling our daughters that instead. I really believe we've picked up the world's narrative. And if we were different, imagine if mothers in the church were thriving and we didn't have this scourge of motherlessness, families would be so, so much more healthy in the church.
So how could the church change to be more centered that way? What would need to change, do you think?
Yeah, I've been thinking about this a lot. I haven't landed on things. I can just throw my ideas out there. I do think we need to first become aware, you know, is this God's way or is this the world's way? So I'm not saying women shouldn't work. You know, we see the Proverbs 31 woman. She was working from the home, not out of the home for someone else. She was working from the home. She may, she bought land, she traded, all of those things. So she was a very productive woman. She had servants, so almost like employees. She had her finger on the pulse for what was happening in her home and what her children were doing. Her children respected her. Her husband respected her. So there's such a great model there.
Yeah.
And I think we can look to that model, and I think without throwing the baby out with the bathwater, because they say, oh, well, you're saying that women shouldn't work and women shouldn't do this and, you know, be out in the marketplace and have a career. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that women can be very industrious and work either from the home or work part-time. The other idea I had, and I don't know how this could work out, but if the church really valued motherhood, I'm sure there's a lot of mums in the church who have to go out to work and it pains them, it grieves them. How can the church support these mums? Hey, we can support you by caring maybe a day a week or something like that. We can cut down your work hours so you just work part-time by supporting you in some way materially or practically. I really do think that the church supporting mothers to be at home who want to be at home in practical and other ways would be one good step forward, plus getting the girls together and teaching them and training to be wives and mothers.
Yeah, it's no different than teaching boys how to be good role models and dads and so forth. Yeah, that's good.
I love that last few minutes of the show there, Cindy. I think you've really put some really thought-provoking thoughts forward. And I guess it starts with, I suppose, each church having a different perhaps shift in perspective about what they're actually trying to achieve with their mums in church. Because, I mean, part of the reason Des and I started Momentum was because we could see that men were falling through the cracks in church, and it seemed that the churches have got the mums thing kind of covered. Like, there's lots of things for mums to get involved with. There's a, you know, a kind of a yearly annual event that, you know, all the women get together and, you know, it's a big thing. And it seems like women get taken care of in the church much better than men. And yet that perspective you just brought, I think, is really, really interesting.
When you talk about, you know, these events that we have for women in the church, I've worked for churches. I've been involved in those sort of things, and I've helped organize and plan those things. I don't think I've ever been in an event that teaches women purposely about their role in marriage as a wife or motherhood. It's more about pampering women.
Yes, of course.
That's how I have seen it. And I love them. I'm not saying I don't love them, but there's something that is not quite right that I've experienced.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. On a final thought, I'd love you to speak to the mums listening. Because we know that there are, I mean, as much as we've got a male audience predominantly, there's lots of females tuned into Momentum. The mums of boys particularly, and maybe you can bring in some of your own experience here with three boys yourself, but these guys are going to be the next generation of men and potential leaders and whatnot in church, society, etc. What would you say to particularly mums of boys who might be listening right now to help shape the next generation of men?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think, first of all, us mothers tend to be very protective mother bears, and we're very, very safety conscious, and even more so in this day and age. And so we don't let our boys take the risks that I think they need to. They need to experience those things. And that was probably one of the tensions that I had with my husband, because he'd say, let them do that. And I'd be freaking out. You know, I can remember that all three of them were up a tree that just was this thin tree, and it was bowed down. They were very high up, meters up. And I was really freaking out. It might have been a coconut tree or something in Africa. But I just said, I can't watch this. I've got to go inside. Because he would always say, I'm watching this and I know they're okay. And so I had to extract myself at times to allow him to be able to monitor a situation and to take risks. So that was a big thing, helping them, take responsibility for chores and things like that. Also, one of the things that I instilled in them was really good books on adventure. So I read them lots and lots of books. I even read them, you know, when they were in 10, 12, whatever. I read them the Lord of the Rings trilogy, which is not like the movie, so not as horrifyingly scary as the movie. And they loved it. They loved all these adventure books. It really solidified in their mind about what is evil, what is bad, and that adventure to go and fight something that was evil. And as they talk about it in the hero's story, that, you know, you face the dragon, you conquer something, and you bring back the gold for the community or for your family or whatever. So I really instilled that in our boys, and I see that they too love all that sort of thing as well.
Yeah. Important messages. And again, we've had a great conversation once again with Sydney McGarvey, but I feel like we've to some degree just scratched the surface. There's a whole lot more we could talk about, but we're going to leave it there for today. It's been our Mother's Day episode with National Director for Youth for Christ Australia, Cindy McGarvey. We've had Cindy on the show a few times, so just encourage you to go and check out our website, MomentumAustralia.org, and have a listen to some of our previous chats with Cindy. There's always some great thought-provoking stuff in there that might help you just shift your perspective about certain issues and topics. But Cindy, thank you once again for being with us on Momentum. I love the way that you just speak honesty and truth and lovingly challenge certain thoughts and aspects, whether that's societal or within the church as well. And we appreciate your voice. And again, happy Mother's Day. Thanks for being on Momentum. Appreciate it.
Welcome. Thank you so much.
You've been listening to Momentum, a show that helps men succeed in life. For more information or to hear this week's show again, go to MomentumAustralia.org. You can also access a whole range of resources to help you on your journey and to get in touch with the team at MomentumAustralia.org. Until next time, keep moving forward. with Momentum.